Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. So I'll begin at the beginning with a portion of the very first sermon I ever preached here, June 4th, 2006. And I've tweaked the verb tenses and the pronouns a little bit to make it fit now. This is what I said. I said, pastors come and go. The list of pastors and their dates on the back wall there is a wise thing for a preacher to gaze on week after week, for it reminds me that this is not my church. It's good that when your pastor stands before you, that who they see is not only those who are present in the room, but also a real reminder of all those who have gone before. A retired pastor friend of mine, Rick Floyd, who preached here years ago, said a wise thing when he preached at the celebration Sunday for the senior minister retiring from 22 years at the Acton Church where I served before coming here. He said this, directed at Dick, he said, "This was Christ's church before you got here, and it will be Christ's church after you leave." So true. And in this way, all pastors, whether they stay for 2 years or 22 years or 13 years, are interim pastors. I think this is a good word for you as well. This was Christ's church before you got here, and it will be Christ's church after you leave. What if from where you sit every Sunday, you could see a roster projected up here on the walls of every person who'd ever been in this church with the date they joined or were baptized or first visited, and then the date that they died or transferred out or moved on? Perhaps it would give you some perspective on your place in this church and its history, and perhaps it would strengthen a sense of how privileged you are to be here in this place. Perhaps it would also be a reminder that we do not belong to ourselves, but to God and to each other, past, present, and future. And even more, that the Holy Spirit is with us, is faithful even when we're not, and will never ever leave us, even when our pastors and our friends do. This is not our church. It's not my church. It's not even your church. It never was, and it never will be. This church, all churches really, belong to God. As you conform your life together to Christ here in this place, as you seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will continue to be a blessed church where Christ is shared and lives are changed and God is praised for it. Then on February 24th, 2008, our relationship changed, as I became your settled pastor. And this was also the day that the pronouns changed. You see, interim pastors are taught to rarely, if ever, use the pronoun our, or we, or us. Interims are to remain at a distance by always referring to the congregation as you. But settled pastors freely refer to the church they serve with the first person plural, we, our, and us. It's a subtle shift in language, but a real shift in the relationship, and one that we grew into gradually as the years passed. And the pronouns are changing again. These days, I move back and forth between saying you and saying our or us. Ours is my habit, but now more and more it sounds not quite right. through it all, not just these recent weeks and months of the beginning of the transition, but through the past 13 years, I have had those words from Rick's sermon echoing in my head. It's not your church, Gail. It's Christ's church. Which weren't his words, but which came from our reading from 1 Corinthians today. We do what we can, but God gives the growth. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I love that my first Sunday here back in 2006 was Pentecost, Holy Spirit Sunday. And now today we are just 1 week past Pentecost. Pentecost is often nicknamed the birthday of the church because it was the Holy Spirit that gathered the people all together in one place, spoke to them of Jesus Christ and all that happened with him, and then sent them out to proclaim the good news of Jesus crucified, risen, and ascended to all the people. And this is the pattern of all churches to this day. Gather, grow, and go. Gather, grow, and go. After Jesus had returned to heaven, the disciples prayed for the Holy Spirit because it had been promised to them, and it came, literally blowing them away and changing the world. And you, Union Congregational Church in Groton, are the result of that first Pentecost. You are the change world that was begun in Jerusalem 1,986 years ago. And so now would be a good time for you to increase your praying for the Holy Spirit in your life together as the church, and to be on the lookout for the Holy Spirit's work in big and small ways. The story goes about a woman who was teaching vacation Bible school. It's a week-long Christian summer day camp that churches lead and host. And on Tuesday, her class was interrupted when a new child was brought in. The little boy was missing an arm. And since he had arrived while the class was underway, the teacher had no opportunity to talk to the parent to inquire about his situation, what sort of adjustments she should make in her teaching. She was nervous, afraid that one of the other children would do or say something that might hurt or embarrass him. And so she proceeded carefully. As they got near the end of their class time, she began to relax. And then she asked the class to join her in their little closing ritual. "Let's make our churches," she said. "We've all done it as kids." And they each folded their hands and began to recite, "Here's the church, here's the steeple." And the awful truth of her own actions struck her. The very thing she had feared the children would do, she had done. She had excluded this little boy. But then, as she stood there, speechless, the little girl sitting next to the boy reached over with her left hand and placed it up to his right hand and said, "Davy, let's make church together." That's what we have done here. With the help, guidance, correction, prodding of the Holy Spirit, we have made church together. And it's what you will continue to do after I leave. Listen to what Rachel Hackenberg, who writes a devotional for the UCC, said about this being together in her reflection that she wrote for Pentecost Sunday. She says this: "After Easter, the disciples were gathered together often, trying to make sense of life without Jesus. Sometimes they gathered behind locked doors in fear. Sometimes they met in familiar places like fishing boats with a longing to return to that elusive state called normal. Sometimes they came together to observe the rhythms of their religious life, the holy days, the prayers, the commemorations. Together, it's often where we find God. And when we're struggling to find God, together is how we hold on. Together is also a place we can become stuck. Together can become sufficient, providing comfort without challenge, adequacy but not abundance. Together can become safe for the sake of staying in to the neglect of going out. Together can become authoritative, a judgment of them versus us. A closed community into which nothing and no one new is invited or imagined. When Pentecost Day began, the disciples were all together in one place. When Pentecost Day ended, the disciples had gone out from their one place. Together had multiplied. New togethers formed. New dreams sparked. New songs arose. New witnesses testified. New generosity flowed. And the original together, the disciples who had been trying to hold on one day at a time, trying to make sense of their new normal, they changed. All together became their call, not just their comfort. God has placed a call on us all together for the past 13 years, which has also been a great comfort. And as I leave and things become uncomfortable, his call on you will remain all together. And God has other calls for this church, which are clear and strong. Sharing Christ so that lives would be changed, creating a Christian foundation for families, learning more about Jesus, serving others. It's printed on the front of your bulletin every week so you won't forget. My hope for you is that this church will become even more about Jesus than it is now. Because Jesus is how we know God. There is nothing in God's character that differs from what we know in Jesus. There are not dual or triple personalities in the three persons of the Trinity. When we hear a claim about God that doesn't sound like Jesus, we should be very wary of it. And what we know in Jesus is one word, love. Love for God, love for each other. And when faith looks like love, hospitality, caring for others, faithfulness, generosity, sacrificing, loyalty, then the church becomes the front porch of the kingdom of God. Sharing Christ and changing lives. My life has been changed these last 13 years. Our lives have been changed. Sharing Christ and changing lives. It's who you are, and it's who you're called to be, no matter what. Amen.